Hello everyone, this is a continuation of our lecture on the nature and extent of responsibility with respect to common carriage of passengers. So we now go to force majeure. The first case we have is Bachelor Express versus Court of Appeals 188/217. In this case, bus number 800 owned by Bachelor Express and driven by Crescencio Rivera was the site of a stampede which resulted in the death of passengers Bitter and Rautrap. The bus came from Davao City on its way to Cagayan de Oro passing Butuan City. While in Tabon-Tabon, Butuan, the bus picked up a passenger. A passenger suddenly stabbed a PC soldier, which caused commotion and panic among the passengers. Two passengers jumped out, and this is the finding of the trial court, which was reversed by the CA, of the bus and were found dead as a result of head injuries. The passenger assailant ran away from the bus but was killed by the police. The parents of the dead passengers filed a complaint for a sum of money against the common carrier, the owner, and the driver. The common carrier denied liability and alleged that the driver was able to transport his passengers safely to their respective places of destination except for the two passengers who jumped off the bus without the knowledge and consent, much less the fault of the driver, and that the common carrier exercised due diligence in the choice of its employees to avoid as much as possible accidents, and that the common carrier continued that the incident was not a traffic or vehicular accident, but was an incident very much beyond the control of the common carrier, and that the common carrier was not a party to the incident, as it was an act of a third party who is not in any way connected with the common carrier and of which they have no control and supervision. The common carrier argued that the incident's proximate cause was the act of the passenger who ran amok and which triggered off the commotion and panic inside the bus. The trial court dismissed the complaint. The Court of Appeals reversed and ordered the common carrier, the owner, and the driver solidarily liable to the heirs of the deceased. It was held that the common carrier is liable for the death of the passengers. The Supreme Court ruled that Bachelor Express, as a common carrier, is bound to carry its passengers safely as far as human care and foresight can provide, using the utmost diligence of very cautious person with due regard for all the circumstances. In this case, where passengers suffered injuries which caused their death, under 1756 of the Civil Code, the common carrier is presumed to have acted negligently unless it can prove that it had observed extraordinary diligence. The common carrier raised the defense of caso fortuito. Article 1174 provides that no person shall be responsible for those events which could not be foreseen or which, though foreseen, were inevitable. Citing Lassam v. Smith, the Supreme Court held that a caso fortuito or fortuito must have the following elements. Number one, the cause of the unforeseen and unexpected occurrence must be independent of the human will. Number two, it must be impossible to foresee the event. Number three, the occurrence must also be so as to render it impossible for the debtor to fulfill his obligation in a normal manner. And number four, the obligor must be free from any participation in the aggravation of the injury resulting to the creditor. The running amok of the passenger was the proximate cause of the incident and is within the context of force majeure. However, the Supreme Court continued that in order that a common carrier may be absolved from liability in case of force majeure, it is not enough that the accident was caused by force majeure. The common carrier must still prove that it was not negligent in causing the injuries resulting from such accident. It must prove that there was no negligence or lack of care and diligence on the part of the common carrier. The trial court and the Court of Appeals had conflicting findings of facts in this case. The Supreme Court upheld the findings of the Court of Appeals that the driver did not immediately stop the bus at the height of the commotion. The bus was speeding from a full stop. The victims fell from the bus door when it was opened or gave way while the bus was still running. The conductor panicked and blew his whistle after the people had already fallen off the bus. The bus was not properly equipped with doors in accordance with law. The Supreme Court continued that it is therefore clear that the petitioners have failed to overcome the presumption of fault and negligence found in the law governing common carriers. The common carrier's argument that it is not an insurer of its passengers deserves no merit in view of the failure of the common carrier to prove that the deaths of the two passengers were exclusively due to force majeure and not to the failure of the common carrier to observe extraordinary diligence in transporting safely the passengers to their destinations as warranted by law. So again, the common carrier's argument that it is not an insurer of its passengers deserves no merit in the view of the failure of the common carrier to prove that the deaths of the two passengers were exclusively due to force majeure and not to the failure of the common carrier to observe extraordinary diligence in transporting safely the passengers to their destinations as warranted by law. We now go to the limitations of liability and how and whether or not these stipulations are valid or the validity of stipulations. So the provisions on limitations of liability and validity of stipulations are provided in Articles 1757 and 1758 of the Civil Code. So it's Article 1757, Article 1758 with respect to the limitation of liability and validity of stipulations. You must remember that the ticket given to a passenger is a written contract. So that ticket, it's a written contract with the following elements. Number one, the consent of the contracting parties manifested by the fact that the passenger boards the ship and the shipper consents or accepts him in the ship for transportation. Number two, cause or consideration, which is the fare paid by the passenger as stated in the ticket. And number three, object, which is the transportation of the passengers from the place of departure to the place of destination, which are stated in the ticket. Please note that passenger is bound, notwithstanding his failure to sign the ticket containing stipulation limiting liability. So even if the passenger failed to sign the ticket, he is nevertheless bound by the provisions of the ticket. Such provisions are part of the contract of carriage, regardless of the passenger's lack of knowledge or assent to the regulation. It is what is known as a contract of adhesion, which is not entirely prohibited by law. The one who adheres to the contract is in reality free to reject it entirely. If he adheres, he gives his consent. Accordingly, where the common carrier incurred delay, it is liable only for the amount printed in the ticket, and the passenger not having declared a higher value for his luggage nor paid additional charges. With respect to dispensing with or limiting liability, the general rule is 1757. So under 17 or 1757, the extraordinary diligence required under 1733 and 1755 of the Civil Code for the carriage of passengers cannot be dispensed with or lessened, one, by stipulation, two, by the posting of notices, three, by statements on tickets, four, otherwise. So remember, the extraordinary diligence required under 1733 and 1755 for the carriage of passengers cannot be dispensed with or lessened by stipulation, posting of notices, by statements on tickets, or otherwise. What cannot be stipulated in carriage of passengers? Number one, you cannot stipulate absolutely exempting the common carrier from liability from the passenger's death or injuries. You cannot also stipulate listening the extraordinary diligence required by law to the diligence of a good father of a family. But note the exception. The exception is the effect of gratuitous carriage. Under 1758, the common carrier and the passenger may validly stipulate limiting the common carrier's liability for negligence where the passenger is carried gratuitously, but the parties cannot stipulate to entirely eliminate liability of the common carrier. Under 1758 paragraph 2, the reduction of fare does not justify any limitation of the common carrier's liability. The law requires gratuitous passage. The law is much stricter with respect to carriage of passengers as compared with the carriage of goods. A stipulation limiting the common carrier's liability in writing, signed by the parties, supported by a sufficient consideration, not contrary to law, will still be void where the passenger is not carried gratuitously. So remember that. So how about the liability of owner of a common carrier to accommodation passengers or invited guests? The case here is Lara versus Valencia, a 1958 case. That's Lara versus Valencia, where an owner of an automobile owes a guest the duty to exercise ordinary or reasonable care to avoid injuring him, since one riding in an automobile is no less a guest because he asked for the privilege of doing so. The same obligation of care is imposed upon the driver and owner as in the case of one expressly invited to ride. Next topic would be the responsibility for acts of employees. The responsibility for acts of employees, you refer to Article 1759 and 1760 of the Civil Code. So Articles 1759 and 1760 governs the responsibility of the common carrier for acts of his employees. So what is the liability for negligence or willful acts of employees? Under 1759, common carriers are held liable for the death or injuries to passengers caused by the negligence or the willful acts of their employees, although such employees may have acted beyond the scope of their authority or in violation of the orders of the common carrier. The common carrier cannot escape liability by interposing the defense that its employees have acted without any authority or against the order of the common carrier. The passenger is entitled to protection from personal violence by the common carrier or its agents or employees, since the contract of transportation obligates the common carrier to transport a passenger safely to his destination, and a common carrier is responsible for the misconduct of its employees. So there's one case here, it's Cardenas versus Fernando. Cardenas versus Fernando, 5-4 Official Gazette, number 4, page 1043, 1957. It states that extraordinary diligence required of common carriers is calculated to protect the passengers as demanded by the preciousness of human life and by the consideration that every person must in every way be safeguarded against all injury. And the two, liability for injury of passengers is based on breach of contract of carriage for failure to bring the passengers safely to his destination. So what's the reason for making the common carrier liable for the misconduct of its employees in their own interest? The servant is clothed with delegated authority and charged with the duty of the common carrier, by the common carrier, to execute his undertaking to carry the passenger safely. When the employee mistreats the passenger, he violates the contractual obligation of the common carrier for which he represents the common carrier. So what's the liability of the common carrier for defects of its equipment? A passenger is entitled to recover damages from a common carrier for an injury resulting from a defect in an appliance purchased from a manufacturer whenever it appears that the defect would have been discovered by the common carrier if it had exercised the degree of care which, under the circumstances, was incumbent upon it with regard to inspection and application of the necessary tests. For the purposes of this doctrine, the manufacturer is considered as being in law the agent or servant of the common carrier as far as regards the work of constructing the appliance. A common carrier is exempt from the acts of employee not done in line of duty. The common carrier is exempt from liability where the employee was never in a position in which it became his duty for his employer to represent him in discharging any duty of the common carrier towards the passenger. The employee is deemed as a stranger or co-passenger since his act was not done in the line of duty. Please note that a common carrier cannot escape liability by interposing defense that he exercised due diligence in the selection and supervision of his employees. This is because the liability of the common carrier is based on culpa contractual and hence it is direct. As previously discussed, the relation of the common carrier and passenger does not cease at the moment that the passenger alights from the common carrier's vehicle at a place selected by the common carrier at the point of destination, but it continues until the passenger had reasonable time or a reasonable opportunity to leave the common carrier's premises. What is a reasonable time or a reasonable delay within this rule is to be determined from all the circumstances. How do you eliminate or limit a carrier's liability? Under Article 1760 of the Civil Code, the common carrier's liability for the negligence or willful acts of his employees which cause death of or injury to passengers cannot be eliminated or limited by stipulation, by the posting of notice, by statements on the tickets, or otherwise. We had a case, the Bataclan versus Medina case, we have previously discussed. This is 104 Philippines 181, Bataclan versus Medina, where the bus turned turtle with gas leaking out and the rescuers brought torches which resulted in fire. And it was held that there was a breach of the contract of carriage and negligence on the part of the agent of the common carrier, the driver. At the time of the blowout of the tires, the bus was speeding. The proximate cause of the death was the overturning of the vehicle, which was followed by the negligence of the driver and the conductor who were on the road walking back and forth. They should have known that with the position of the bus, leakage was possible aside from the fact that gas, when spilled, can be smelled from a distance. The failure of the driver and conductor to have cautioned or taken steps to warn rescuers not to bring a lighted torch to near the bus constitutes negligence on the part of the agents of the carrier. Another case here is Digiliaco versus MRR. Digiliaco versus MRR, that's 97 Philippines 884. 97 Philippines 884. In this case, the plaintiff's husband was a passenger in the train from Calamba to Manila. When the train reached the Paco Railroad, a train guard of MRR was in the station waiting for the train to take him to Tutuban to report for duty. He had a long-standing grudge against Giliaco and he shot and killed him upon seeing him inside the train. So it was held that while a passenger is entitled to protection from personal violence by the common carrier or its agents or employees, the responsibility of the common carrier extends only to those acts that the common carrier could foresee or avoid through the exercise of the degree of care and diligence required of it. The common carrier did not impose upon the common carrier the absolute liability for assaults of their employees upon the passengers. The act of the guard was entirely unforeseeable by MRR, which had no means to ascertain or anticipate the two would meet, nor could it foresee every personal rancor that might exist between its employees and its passengers. The shooting was a caso fortuito, both being unforeseeable and inevitable under the circumstances. When the crime took place, the guard had no duties to discharge. His position would be that of a passenger, also waiting transportation, and not of an employee assigned to discharge his duties. A case, another case in this, under this subject is Maranan versus Perez. Maranan versus Perez is 20 Scra 412. That's 20 Scra 412. In this case, a passenger in a taxi cab was stabbed and killed by the driver. The driver claimed self-defense since, according to him, he was stabbed first by the passenger. The taxi cab operator claimed caso fortuito. The new civil code, or the civil code, unlike the our old civil code, makes the common carrier absolutely liable for intentional assaults committed by its employees upon its passenger. That's under Article 1754. The liability of the common carrier is based on either respondeat superior or the common carrier's implied duty to transport the passenger safely. Under the respondeat superior, which is the minority view, the common carrier is liable only when the act of the employee is within the scope of his authority and duty. Under the second view, the common carrier is liable as long as the assault occurs within the course of the performance of the employee's duty. There is no defense that the act was done in excess of authority or in disobedience of the orders of the common carrier. The common carrier's liability is absolute in the sense that it practically secures the passengers from assaults committed by its own employees. Three cogent reasons underlie this rule. Number one, the special undertaking of the common carrier requires that it furnish the passengers the full measure of protection afforded by the exercise of the high degree of care prescribed in the law from violence and insults in the hands of strangers, other passengers, and from its own servants charged with the passenger's safety. Liability is based on the common carrier's confiding in the servant's hands the performance of his contract to safely transport the passenger. This is the second. The liability is based on the common carrier's confiding in the servant's hands the performance of his contract to safely transport the passenger, delegating therein the duty of protecting the passenger with utmost care prescribed by law. And number three, as between the common carrier and the passenger, the common carrier must bear the risk of wrongful acts or negligence of the common carrier's employees against the passenger, since it has the power to select and remove them. It is the common carrier's obligation to select its drivers with due regard not only to their technical competence and physical ability, but also to their total personality, including patterns of behavior, moral fiber, and social attitude. Our next topic will be about the responsibility for acts of strangers and co-passengers. So that's the rule on the responsibility of common carriers for acts of strangers and co-passengers are stipulated in Article 1763 of the Civil Code. Remember, 1763 of the Civil Code. In this case, the common carrier is responsible for such willful acts or negligence of other passengers or of strangers, provided that the common carrier's employees could have prevented or stopped the act or omission through the exercise of ordinary diligence. If the injury could not have been avoided by the exercise of ordinary diligence on the part of the employees of the common carrier, then the common carrier is not liable. Notice that the law speaks of injuries suffered by the passenger, but not his death. However, there appears to be no reason why the common carrier should not be held liable under such circumstances. The word injuries should be also interpreted to include death. We have one case here, it's Pilatel versus Court of Appeals, but you should read Article 1763 of the Civil Code with respect to the rule on the responsibility of common carriers for acts of strangers and co-passengers. In the case of Bilateral versus Court of Appeals, 180 SCRA 546. 180 SCRA 546. In this case, while on a bus, an unidentified bystander hurled a stone at the bus and hit Bilateral above his left eye. He sustained some injuries to his eye. It was held that the law does not make the common carrier an insurer of the absolute safety of its passengers. Article 1755 qualifies the duty of the common carrier in exercising vigilance to only such as human care and foresight can provide. The presumption created by law against the common carrier is rebuttable by proof that the common carrier had exercised extraordinary diligence in the performance of its obligations, and that the injuries suffered were caused by fortuitous events. The liability of the common carrier necessarily rests upon the negligence or its failure to exercise the degree of diligence required by law. Under Article 1763, the diligence required with regard to its liability in cases when intervening acts of strangers directly caused the injury is the diligence only of a good father of a family, and not the extraordinary diligence generally required. The rule is not so exacting as to require one charge with its exercise to take doubtful or unreasonable precautions to guard against unlawful acts of strangers. The common carrier would only be negligent if the tort caused by a third person could have been foreseen and prevented by them. That's the case of Bilateral versus Court of Appeals, 180 SCRA 546. In that case also, the court said that the injury was in no way connected to the performance of the obligation of the bus company. It was caused by a stranger over which the carrier had no control or even knowledge of, and which could not have been prevented. And we have one case before discussed before, it's the Bachelor Express versus HA case, 180 SCRA 217. Remember the case of a passenger stabbed a PC officer, which caused a commotion and resulted in the death of the passengers. Remember that the court held that the common carrier raised the defense of caso fortuito, and that the running amok of the passenger was the proximate cause of the incident, and it is within the context of force majeure. However, in order the common carrier, according to the court, may be absolved from liability in case of force majeure, it is not enough that the accident was caused by force majeure. The common carrier must still prove that it was not negligent in causing the injuries resulting from such accident. It must prove that there was no negligence or lack of care and diligence on the part of the common carrier. The trial court and the Court of Appeals had conflicting findings of fact. The Supreme Court upheld the findings of the Court of Appeals, that is, that the driver did not immediately stop the bus at the height of the commotion, the bus was speeding from a full stop, the victims fell from the bus door when it was opened or gave way while the bus was still running, the conductor panicked and blew his whistle after people had already fallen off the bus was not properly equipped with doors in accordance with law. So the Supreme Court concluded that it is clear that the petitioners have failed to overcome the presumption of fault and negligence found in the law governing common carriers. According to the Supreme Court, the argument of the common carrier that it is not an insurer of its passengers deserves no merit in view of the failure of the common carrier to prove that the death of the two passengers were exclusively due to the force majeure and not to the failure of the common carrier to observe extraordinary diligence in transporting safely the passengers to their destinations as warranted by law. So we move on to our next topic, that's duty of the passenger and the effect of contributory negligence. So the duty of the passenger and what's the effect of contributory negligence, it's governed in the Civil Code under Articles 1761 and 1762. 1761 and 1762 of the Civil Code. Remember that the law does not protect negligence of passenger to the extent of doing harm or damage upon a public utility. And the diligence of a good father of a family to avoid injury to himself is the diligence required of a passenger. So the diligence required of a passenger is the diligence of a good father of a family to avoid injury to himself. And again, the law does not protect negligence of the passenger, because to the extent of doing harm or damage upon a public utility. So what is the effect of negligence of passengers? Where the proximate cause of the death of or injury to the passenger is his own negligence and not that of the common carrier, then the common carrier is exempted from liability. So remember that the effect of negligence of the passenger, when it is the proximate cause of his injury or death, then the common carrier is exempt from liability, especially when the common carrier is not responsible for such death or injury. And what is the effect of passengers' contributory negligence? The contributory negligence on the part of the passenger does not justify the common carrier's exemption from liability. Where it is not the proximate cause of the death or injury, he or his heirs are not barred from recovery of damages, provided, of course, that the common carrier is the proximate cause of his death or injury. So remember that. So the proximate cause of the death or injury is the common carrier, and the passenger's contributory negligence will not exempt the common carrier. But the effect of the negligence of the passenger, where it is the proximate cause and the common carrier has nothing to do with it, then that is going to exempt the common carrier from liability. We have cases here, Kanko versus MRR, previously discussed, 38 Philippines 768. This is about the employee riding on train who stepped on the watermelons. And we have discussed, we have stated that the conduct of a plaintiff in undertaking to alight while the train was yet slightly underway was not characterized by imprudence, and that he was not guilty of contributory negligence. The circumstances show that it was no means so risky for him to get off while the train was yet moving. It is not negligence per se for a traveler to alight from a slowly moving train. I should take note of that, that it is not negligent, it's not negligence per se for us to alight from a slowly moving train. I have serious doubts about that. And how about Isaac versus A.L. Amen? The case we have discussed is before, Isaac versus A.L. Amen, where the passenger aboard a bus who placed his left arm on the window lost his arm when the bus collided with a pickup. As you remember, the court ruled that by placing his left arm on the window, the passenger is guilty of contributory negligence. And although contributory negligence cannot relieve the carrier, but can only reduce his liability under Article 1762, the court said that this is a circumstance which militates against the plaintiff's position. Plaintiff meaning the passenger. It is negligence per se for passengers to protrude any part of his body, and that no recovery can be had for injury. So when you alight from a slowly moving train, it is not negligence per se, but if you, as in the case of Kanko, but if you protrude any part of your body, then that is negligence per se. So no recovery can be had for an injury. So in this case of Isaac, the bus driver had done what a prudent man could have done to avoid a collision, and the injury was due to passenger's fault. So those are two cases on contributory negligence and the effect of the negligence of a passenger. So remember, Kanko versus MRR and Isaac versus Amen. Kanko with respect to alighting from a slowly moving train, and Isaac with respect to protruding body parts. So how about the liability of air carrier under the Warsaw Convention? The Warsaw Convention took effect October 12, 1929. If you will see under Article 17 of the Warsaw Convention, note Article 17 provides that the carrier shall be liable for damages sustained in the event of a death or wounding of a passenger or any other bodily injury suffered by a passenger if the accident which caused the damage so sustained took place on board the aircraft or in the course of any of the operations of embarking or disembarking. So I repeat, Article 17 of the Warsaw Convention provides with respect to liability of air carrier It states, the carrier shall be liable for damages sustained in the event of death or wounding of a passenger or any other bodily injury suffered by a passenger if the accident which caused the damage so sustained took place on board the aircraft or in the course of any of the operations of embarking or disembarking. And Article 18 also provides that, number one, the carrier shall be liable for damage sustained in the event of the destruction or loss of or of damage to any checked baggage or any goods if the occurrence which caused the damage so sustained took place during the transportation by air. So remember that carrier is liable for damage sustained if there's destruction or loss of damage to checked baggage. And Article 18, Paragraph 2 provides also that the transportation by air within the meaning of the preceding paragraph, in Paragraph 1 of Article 18, shall comprise the period during which the baggage or goods are in the charge of the carrier, whether in an airport or board an aircraft, or in case of a landing outside an airport, in any place whatsoever. Article 18, Paragraph 3 of the Warsaw Convention also provides that the period of the transportation by air shall not extend to any transportation by land, by sea, or by river performed outside an airport. If, however, such transportation takes place in the performance of a contract for transportation by air for the purpose of loading, delivery, or transshipment, any damage is presumed, subject to proof to the contrary, to have been the result of an event which took place during the transportation by air. And Article 19 of the Warsaw Convention provides that the carrier shall be liable for damages occasioned by delay in the transportation by air of passengers or baggage or goods. So again, Article 19 provides the carrier shall be liable for damages occasioned by delay in the transportation by air of passengers, baggage, or goods. The Supreme Court has held in cases that these provisions merely declare the carrier liable for damages in the enumerated cases if the conditions therein specified are present. But these provisions nor others in the Convention, in the Warsaw Convention, regulate or exclude liability for other breaches of contract by the carrier. So remember, it does not preclude for other breaches of contract by the carrier. Other violations might occur aside from Articles 17, 18, and 19 of the Warsaw Convention. So that ends our topic on common carriers. That ends our topic on common carriage of passengers, the nature and extent of responsibility, especially on force majeure. And now we go to the damages you can recover from a common carrier. So this is very important. So our next lecture will be on what type of damages you can recover from a common carrier. Okay, so that would be our next topic on our next lecture.